And there he is. Well, yeah, there he is. Well, I didn't know, somewhere along the line he got packed on the bus also. But we wound up talking to each other again.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think nothing much. Well, I thought, hey, how bizarre. That was kind of weird that I happened to meet up with this guy.
It's not that weird.
No? Well, wait for this one. So I'm in about a week and a half after that, after, I reached my destination, I was walking out of a pizza parlor in Napa, Idaho, and as I was walking out, he was walking in. Now that's weird.
Well, I guess it is. I mean, did you come back to Napa?
Did I come back to Napa?
Right. In other words, was Napa your home?
No, Marcine, Idaho.
There's not a whole lot of people in Idaho, so.
Well, but now come on, now there's Caldwell, Napa, Boise, and there's just what are the chances of that even happening?
What it might have been actually.
What?
Death, Mr. Death stalking
you. You think?
Yep.
Heavens, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, and if you'd said the wrong thing.
He would have zapped me.
That's right. You'd be gone.
Ashes, dust to dust.
Dust to dust. Have a good morning, sir, and thank you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, hi, Art. This is Dave from San Jose. Great show.
Hi, Dave.
I'm glad you're covering that geomagnetic storm we're having. You know that Drudge, before he broke it on his front page, he had a story running that NASA and NOAA said that coming this weekend there's a solar flare headed directly for us, and it should hit this weekend. I don't know what he did with that story. He started to cover the geomagnetic storm, and it kind of fell off. So we got something to look forward to this weekend also.
It should be interesting. And, again, if you're even in mid-latitudes, you might want to go out at night. If you've never seen the Aurora Borealis, it really is an amazing thing to behold, and it really may come down to middle latitudes. We are really getting whacked.
You had a 6, a 7, 2 eighths, and the last one was a 5. I don't know what it's up to now. 2 eighths in a row is unusual. You mentioned an Arctic hole opening up, the biggest one ever.
Yes, sir.
What a time for it to be opening up when you're heading right into the peak of a solar maximum.
I know. If we, there are a lot of people who feel, and I'm not suggesting this is going to happen, but our protection from solar flares and solar events, my God, the A index is 34 now. Our protection is, and by the way, it's listing severe storm levels now.
It's incredible.
Not just major, but severe storm levels. Our protection, you see, is our magnetic field.
Absolutely.
Should our magnetic field get really whacked once and then really whacked again, there is the possibility, some people think, that there could be a reversal of poles. You're aware of that?
Yes, sir, I am.
And if the poles should reverse, well, I was bitching about the wind we had the last couple of weeks.
It'll be a moot point, the wind.
It'd make that look like a calm day. I got a boogie, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, and have a good morning. He's right. The sun. Here comes the sun. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Some of them want to use you. Some of them want to get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you.
Send your camel to bed. Shadows painting our faces. Traces. The romance in our head. Heaven's holding our head. Shadows just for us. Let's slip off to a sad kicked up a little dirt. Come on, cactus is our friend. He's on the
Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may regard at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach out on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nod.
It is, and, you know, once, this is like a fairy tale. Oh, wait a minute. The sound first, Maestro. I'm still marveling at what the Church of England is going to do. They're going to upgrade hell. Hell, which had been downgraded to a state of nothingness, is now going to be upgraded to the old burning pit and the river of fire and the torture and the screams and the more traditional hell. But it just doesn't seem to me that men in churches can decide what hell is going to be. And can they really decide? In other words, if you die tomorrow and you take the unfortunate down escalator, will what the Church of England has decided hell is to be? I somehow doubt it. I suppose that's a plus, huh? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, it's Wayne from Portland.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, glad I got through to you. You know why I think that picture might be a fake?
Oh, the creature?
Yes.
Why?
Who in their right mind is going to stop to take a picture of that without going the other way?
Nobody.
I'd be out of there so fast. I mean, you couldn't get me in a cave anyway, but...
I'm with you. I don't know how they could have it, but you can't go beyond that in saying why it might be fake.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's a great picture, though. It's the heck out of me.
Yeah, is that evil or what? That's not just an alien.
It was malefic.
Oh, man. And plus, you got to consider, it was down there.
Now, where was that taken exactly?
Well, I think it's claimed that it was taken in some sort of a cave in Saudi Arabia or something like that.
Oh, God. I wanted to ask you, too, are you going to still be broadcasting on your ham radio?
Oh, yes.
What frequency are you on? I'm a ham for life.
I'm a ham for life. 3830, 3930, I don't know, 75-meter band, somewhere in there.
Okay. And one last thing, too. I wanted to ask Neil. I didn't get through then.
Yes.
Do you think there's any connection between the energy in the brain and spontaneous human combustion? Like maybe the energy gone wild or something? I know it's a speculation, but...
It's as good as any. I appreciate the call, sir, and I have no idea. My wife hands me the following. Hell is waiting for the wife to finish shopping at Walmart. Boy, isn't that the truth. Shopping is hell. I know it isn't that way for women, but shopping is hell. It's like the worst thing that I can imagine having to do. Shopping for clothes is double hell. That's an upgraded hell, where you have to kind of just wander around these racks of clothes, and it's just never been my thing, and I get fidgety, and I don't want to be around, and so I go over to the electronics area, and I kill time looking at cool electronics. That's all right. But I mean, for normal things, normal needs, food, clothes, all these things you really need, sundries, it's awful. I mean, it's simply awful. It's like, maybe that is hell. Maybe hell is just like a mall. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Dave in Sturgeon Lake.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, I was listening to you tonight, and the solar maxis and the poles might be changing. What I was wondering
now,
was...
No, I didn't say that. I said that if we got hit hard enough, and we're getting hit pretty hard, that the magnetic field could either head down to almost nothing or even reverse.
Okay, well, I was just curious about the grand alignment that's supposed to happen on May 5th.
Yes.
Now, wouldn't that really have something to do with that, too? I mean, as far as... the gravitational pull, the sun, the ozone, and all that, what would that be?
Well, the only way that I would really worry about the grand alignment, the way I understand the dynamics and the physics of it, since these planets really cannot affect each other, The grand alignment is going to be May 5th of 2000. Now, if all the planets were lined up and something the size of Jupiter times 3 came along and hit the first planet, we would all be thrown out of the solar system like so many billiard balls. Aside from that concern, I don't think we've got much to worry about, but you never know.
Yeah, I was concerned because they're all happening at once, and I just wanted to get your opinion.
Mm-hmm. The end.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care. You didn't even get that. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi there, Art.
Hi.
This is Mark calling from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Hi, Mark.
How you doing? Hey, I'll do a book plug for you. Very good book. I just got done reading it.
Superstorm?
Yeah, Superstorm, you bet.
Yep. It's going to be a miniseries on TV, you know.
Really?
Yep.
What was the highest it ever made it on the chart, Art?
That's a good question. It made it... Well, it depends on what chart you're talking about. Which chart? It made it to the bestseller in the New York Times.
Oh, it did, okay.
It made it up to, I think, number 10 on Amazon.com.
Okay.
It did real well.
That's excellent, huh? Well, you deserved it. Hey, I went and seen The Green Mile. It's a pretty awesome movie.
Oh, you saw The Green Mile.
Yeah, really good.
That was one of the better motion pictures, and it... You know, I haven't seen American Beauty yet, so I can't really comment, but...
Mm-hmm.
The fact that The Green Mile didn't win sort of made me angry.
Yeah, I know. I thought of Ramona like that. Did she see it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes. We watch movies together. And we both, of course, loved The Sixth Sense and The Green Mile.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them, American Beauty, just, that must be some good movie. I really can't negatively comment because I have not seen it yet. But it's going to have to be awfully good to be better than those.
Oh, yeah, I could go see The Green Mile a couple of times before, you know. Just keep seeing it again and again, you know. It's excellent.
Well, I watched the movie, and now I'm reading the book. So I'm doing backwards, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you very much. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Art?
That would be me.
Yeah, my Bill. I'm in Central Texas.
Hi, Bill.
And I talked to you once before about Brad Steiger's book, Rainbow Conspiracy.
Yes.
And I asked you if you might have a chance to ask him about the things they dug up underground. Remember that?
Vaguely.
I thought they might be tokamaks.
You might be what?
Tokamaks, that's a fusion reactor, massive magnets that they use to contain a fusion reaction.
Underground.
Yeah.
You mean some previous civilization?
Deep underground, and then we buried them.
You mean some previous civilization?
Yeah. What it looked like, maybe. They had strange hieroglyphics all over them. It's in his book, The Rainbow Conspiracy.
Well?
I guess you didn't get a chance to ask him about it.
No, I did not. I'm sorry, I did not.
Okay.
Maybe that would be why people think there's a hell down there.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of strange things in the world.
There's not a hotter burning fire than that.
That's pretty hot.
That's right, it is. All right, thank you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
I didn't have any luck getting through with Mr. Steiger, but I was going to...
I can barely hear you. Yell at us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's better. Oh, much better, yes.
All right. I said I didn't have much luck getting through with Mr. Steiger, but I was going to... And plus, none of your ghost-to-ghost episodes.
Yes. Why, do you have a ghost story?
Well, sort of. A lot of, like, Mexican folklore is, like, kept alive in my family.
Yes.
And we, at least my mom's side of the family, we keep it. I guess we take it seriously.
Peter Davenport has been manning the National UFO Reporting Center in Seattle, Washington, where a lot of weird reports go. And here he is, an old friend by this time, Peter Davenport. Hi.
Good evening, Art.
Peter, just before we begin, I sent you a photograph of this godforsaken whatever it is creature earlier today. The fellow sent me from Saudi Arabia. Do you have any idea what that is?
I have no idea what that is, Art. That's one of the weirdest looking creatures I've ever seen in my life. As I stared at it, and honestly, I don't like looking at images of aliens, interestingly, even fictional ones.
I'm not sure this is an alien, but it's alien, but God,
it doesn't look like it's from this planet. I can see qualities of chupacabra in it.
Yeah.
It looks like a bat. It looks somewhat reminiscent of that creature that allegedly was captured down in Brazil in 1997 at Varinja, Brazil. All I hope is that...
I hope it's not real.
I hope it's not real,
you know, too. I get these pictures, and a lot of times I look at them and I go, and I present it for the audience. This one, I present it to you all, and I say, I hope it's not real, and when you see it, you'll hope it's not real, too.
Yeah.
All right, Peter, we've got a lot going on. Big solar storm blasting us right now.
Yeah.
Mr. Malin releasing photographs of Cydonia that have been in his desk drawer. We'll find out about that. But right now you've got breaking news for us with witnesses on hand.
All of what you presented is big news, and I think what we will present over the next hour will also be construed to be fairly big news, Art. In point of fact, I think we have two programs tonight, the first half hour and the second half hour, a completely different subject. Take great pride in knowing or suspecting that we're going to keep a lot of professional drivers wide awake, at least for the next 60 minutes or so tonight.
Attention drivers, all right.
I know we have two very special guests standing by. It's late for them. They've got early morning jobs.
Let's get it on.
So what I would like to do is give about a 30-second preface and get right to them, because they've got some fascinating stories to tell. I guess in honor of the presidential elections this year, we're going down to Texas tonight. We've got two reports from Texas, one from last Saturday night, April 1st.
I don't honor the elections. Anyway, continue.
I speak facetiously every once in a while on this program, of course.
No, thank you.
A gentleman who was down just northwest of Dallas, about 96 miles last Saturday night, I'm going to let him tell his own story of what flew over him and his friend as they drove back to their weekend rental cabin. It's hair-raising what they experienced, and the gentleman whom we're about to hear can tell it very well. Later on this half hour, we'll have another gentleman who saw something just this afternoon, very close to Dallas, on the outskirts of Dallas, I guess. I like to bring fresh news to this program.
All right, fresh it is. Then here is Joe from the Dallas area, and we're just going to call, we've got his whole name and everything, but we're just going to call him Joe from Dallas, unless he wants to give his whole name. Joe is fine, I take it?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Joe. Joe, you just want to use the name Joe, right?
Yes, that's correct.
The average Joe. All right. What happened to you, Joe?
Well, as I had mentioned to you earlier in the week, it was Saturday, April 1st, and we were staying at a friend's place up on Possum Kingdom Lake, and we decided to drive into town to eat dinner. The nearest town was Graham, Texas, about 40 miles away from where we were staying.
Right.
After our meal, we drove back towards the cabin. The time was approximately 9:30, and the reason I know this is we left the restaurant about 9:15, stopped and got some gasoline, so by the time that we encountered whatever we saw, it was around 9:30. The weather that night was a solid overcast with a north wind about, 15 miles an hour with mist.
All right.
And so the visibility was extremely limited. There was a low ceiling of approximately 200 to 300 feet. So as we drove south on Highway 16 out of Graham, there was a pickup truck ahead of us, which turned off about a mile and a half out of town.
You're driving a late model SUV.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Which means that we were now the only vehicle on the road.
Gotcha.
And shortly after that, we noticed a very, very bright light off to our left, about southeast of Graham.
Right.
And at first, we thought it might be lightning. And I said, well, I don't see how it could be. The storm's coming from behind us from the north. But I said, what are those lights? These lights were randomly projecting themselves at various angles.
Oh, brother.
And I've never seen anything like that, and I was trying to figure out, was it a beacon of some sort?
Sounds like a scene from a movie. That's how it always begins. My God, what are those lights?
Yeah.
Yeah, and?
It was shining a spotlight, just these huge beams, and obviously caught our attention. So at one point, that one of those beams fell on our vehicle, and I complained about being blinded, and I thought it was reckless of somebody to place something like that near a road level.
Well, in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, when they're looking to trick you, all of a sudden you hear rotor blades coming up over the hill. Thump, 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 a helicopter. I take it you didn't hear that.
I did not hear anything.
Okay.
I rolled the window down as this thing was going on. I couldn't hear any noise whatsoever.
Dead silent.
Because I thought it might have been a helicopter at first.
Okay, and then?
Well, we were kind of complaining about the light, and all of a sudden it just rose in the air.
Well.
And I said, I asked Paula, I said, is that a helicopter?
It.
It just rose straight up.
What do you mean by it?
Well, I mean, the lights themselves.
The lights themselves.
Rose straight up in the air.
All right, your girlfriend, is it your girlfriend?
Yes.
Saw this object, right?
Mm-hmm.
She, what did she actually see, aside from a light? What was
it? Nothing. The lights were so bright, you couldn't see anything. They blinded your vision about what the object might have been at that point.
How far above your head do you believe it was at first?
It was about 150 feet above my head as it came towards the car.
All right.
And that's what frightened me a little bit. When it started for the car, and I'm going perpendicular to it, 65 miles an hour, and it's coming straight at me. So it means it's, you know, targeted on us, I guess, or maneuvering in our direction somehow.
Well, you're lucky. That's how they got Travis Walton. So you're lucky. But this is some sighting, huh?
Yes. The first one I'd ever seen in my life. I've heard about UFO sightings and things, but I at this point in time, I had no idea what this was. I wasn't thinking UFO. I was thinking helicopter. Some kind of explanation. I couldn't think about what in the world this could be.
Well, for me, you've got a big welcome to the club, because I've been there. Peter, anything I'm missing?
No. I'd like Joe to describe what they saw as that object went over the SUV. As he described it to me, he saw the bottom of it, and then his friend saw it out the passenger side. She stuck her head out the window. And, Joe, could you describe for our listeners tonight, please, what it was you saw on that object?
As it got near the car and before it was over on top of us, we saw something that looked like an egg standing on its end.
Now, see, I asked you about that, Joe, and you said no form, just light. But now you're saying something, an egg standing
sort
on
of,
end?
Well, it was shaped sort of like that, and it was... there was red bands going through the light.
Oh.
And the red bands were kind of glowing. They were pulsating sort of like. And this white light was, it was so bright you couldn't look at it for just more than a half a second before your eyes would, you know, would tell you to shut your eyelids. So I stuck my head out and kind of looked at this thing. And then that's when it was over the car. And I got really frightened at that point because I couldn't determine what this was. I heard no noise, nothing. And it was over the car, and I couldn't figure out what in the world is this thing going to do. And after about 30 seconds, it moved off to our southwest, and we were heading south. And so it went off at a kind of a right angle to us.
Until you lost sight of it?
And then we lost sight of it.
All right, Joe. Well, again, I say, welcome to the club. You've really had a close encounter.
Well, I have no idea what we saw. It didn't look, from what I could see, it didn't look earthly. We have tried everything in the world to figure out exactly what it was. As I mentioned to you, I called the sheriff's office in Graham, and... the deputy took our report and said he would call us back.
Yeah, but according to the conditions you told me about, not a lot of people would have seen it unless it was right over their head.
Exactly.
All right. Listen, Joe, thank you, my friend.
You bet.
And good night. Okay, that's Joe. And now somebody named Bosco. He's actually from Sierra Leone, so he'll have a little bit of an accent. Bosco, I'm sorry, I almost gave his name, is a high school teacher. Is that correct, Peter?
That's correct. And he's got a good science background, and he, like our guest Joe, just today apparently saw his first UFO, and I would like our listeners to hear this gentleman describe in his own words what he saw this afternoon, the 6th of April, apparently on the outskirts of Dallas, Texas.
Dallas again. Bosco, welcome to the program.
Hi, Art. How you doing?
Well, I'm just fine. My goodness, Bosco, right down there in the same area, what did you see today?
Okay, sometime around about 2:25 this afternoon, I left my house to head out to pick up my kids from school.
Right.
And I was heading on 175, which is Horn Freeway, west, towards Dallas.
Toward how far from Dallas?
It's about, I'm actually like one block outside of Dallas City.
One block outside, all right, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
So, shortly before I was approaching, there's an overpass there, the Silverado exit, Silverado Street exit.
Yes.
Overpass. I raised my head up to look at the traffic ahead of me because there's a 635 exchange, which is like a beltway around Dallas. I have to do that so I can adjust my speed before I get up there.
Gotcha.
Right. So when I raised my head up and I happened to glance up into the skies and I saw this object directly above me, parallel to my moving vehicle, but it was at a very great distance. It was at a great distance.
When you say great distance, you mean above you?
Yes, above in the sky.
So it was very high, but it was directly above you?
Not directly above me, at an angle,
okay.
I would say about 45 degrees angle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was at a great distance.
And what shape was it?
It had a circular shape.
Circular.
It had a circular shape. But what caught my attention was it started moving towards on my right hand side.
Yes.
At a very terrific speed. I mean, the velocity was so high that I would say in about 5 or 8 seconds it disappeared into the skies.
Gone.
And I continued driving, and once more again I looked up in the skies shortly after that, and then I saw another one. This time it was like about 5 or 10 degrees to my left, and it moved in the same direction as the first one, and also at a very terrific speed. The velocity was so high, it also took off, and just like that, it was gone. So I became concerned. I was really scared.
What the hell, Bosco? Sounds like an invasion of Dallas.
Well, I hope not. I don't know what it is, though. But I have very strong scientific beliefs. I'm a Christian, though, but I have some very strong scientific beliefs. And the basic tools for scientific investigation have to do with our senses, your eyes, your sense of smell, taste, you know. So I observed that object. And so I took out my cell phone and called 911.
And what did they say?
They gave me a number to call, and I called that number.
And that was Peter Davenport?
Yes, sir.
Ha-ha. Good for the 911 center.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Good 911 center.
Yeah.
So... you saw two objects, cylindrical, like flying saucers, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. In Dallas earlier today.
Yes, sir.
And you're the second person.
Yes, sir.
All right, Bosco.
And to make my description a little bit, because when I took the 635 North interchange.
Yes, we're very out of time here.
Okay. All right. Okay,
Bosco, thank you very much,
and
good morning. And as I said to the other observer, welcome to the club, because they are out there, and apparently they're in the Dallas area. So if you're in Dallas, keep your eyes on the sky. Peter Davenport is here, and we will be right back. Once again, with continued reports of weird stuff, here is Peter Davenport at the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle. Peter, hi.
I'm still with you, Art.
Good.
Before we go to our next guest, just very briefly, one more comment about Texas. What we don't have time for tonight is to describe the incident that occurred the next night on the 2nd of April, Sunday night. Trucker just south of Amarillo on Interstate 27 saw a very, very bizarre orange round fireball come out of the night sky about 10:33 p.m., hit the ground, allegedly, and bounce back up in the sky
what?
And explode.
What? Bounce back up in the sky?
Bounce back up into the sky. He's probably listening tonight. He reported that about 4, maybe 6 minutes later, he saw emergency vehicles headed, I believe, north. He was southbound on Interstate 27. If there's anybody out there who is driving in North Texas, south of Amarillo, last Sunday night, the 2nd of April, who saw that event or was witness to it, we'd sure like to hear from them.
Sounds like a war on Texas to me.
Yeah, we'd like to know what's going on there.
All right.
But our next guest, we go up to California for. Something happened this afternoon over Northern California, specifically Fall River Mills. It's about, I think, 70 miles roughly northeast of Redding, way up in the northern end of California. I don't necessarily believe that it was UFO-related, but it was so bizarre, and the two witnesses whom we have standing by on the line tell it so well that I thought our listeners tonight would like to know about it, and it might help us distinguish some of the UFO reports from some of the reports of other things of terrestrial origin.
So something fell on Fall River.
Something went over Fall River Mills tonight, or actually this afternoon, about 2:15. I'll let, of course, let our guests tell their own story, but it was so strange. It was a loud, loud sound that shook the earth, Art, and it suggests to me that our military and reconnaissance forces may be flying something very unusual. But with that said, this, by the way, you'll probably recall, this is reminiscent of an event that you and I covered back in January of 99, the very loud object that went over Northern California three or four hours later, that alleged meteor hit up north of Anchorage, Alaska. Very few people in the press even bothered to call trying to put the two events together.
It's true.
We don't know what hit in Alaska. As far as I know, they never found a fragment or any damage caused by that object. But this, what our guests will be describing tonight, is very similar to what happened about 14, 15 months ago over Northern California. Again, why don't we just go to our guests and...
All right. Actually, it's a married couple, Sally and Bill, and I think Sally's the one on the line right now. Sally.
Hi.
Hi there.
Good evening.
Fall River Mills, California, huh?
Yes, a very pretty valley.
What's the nearest big town?
Redding is about an hour and a half southwest. It's about 80 to 100,000, and Klamath Falls is about the same time to the north in Oregon.
All right. What happened?
I was outside watering my baby apple trees, and a sudden sound came up out of the west. Thinking it was one of the occasional low-flying military aircraft, I put my hands to my ears and looked east, the direction of which the sound was headed, thinking I would see an aircraft. I saw nothing, and the sound, however, did not react like what I had heard before when some of these guys decide to fly real low. The sound sped up in volume, but unlike an aircraft of which you'll hear a boom and
sure.
then it's gone,
sure.
the sound kept up its steady volume, and all I can say, it was like a reverberating roar, a wall of noise.
A wall of noise.
Not like a pinpoint on one aircraft, but a wall extending, I'm going to guess, several hundred feet, half a mile. That's the feeling, the impression I got from it.
Wow. That's
but it was sweeping.
That's an awful lot of noise for nothing to be seen.
Yes. However, it was not deafening. It did not hurt my ears. However, it was very loud.
What do you think you heard?
I think it was man-made.
Why?
The way... Well, I don't know why.
In other words, what part of the sound tipped you off to man-made? Was there any part, or now that you're forced to think about it, do you have to say, well, maybe not? I mean, just unless there was something about it that, you know.
Well,
I mean, I've heard low-flying jets too.
Yeah.
And I know what they sound like, and I know how the sound tracks versus the aircraft screaming over your head.
It was not a scream. It was not a high pitch. It was a very low, rumbling, sweeping, tremendous... Oh, do you remember that scene in Independence Day where the meteor, or this vast... spaceship is coming across the sky and it's burning up into the sky?
Yes, I do.
And it's very slow moving. That's
yes.
The impression I got of enormity.
Well, maybe we're making those, but I don't have any proof. So I don't know whether that would be ours or not, man-made or not.
Right, but I think my husband has got more detail on his impression.
All right, but like you were both out there, right?
Yes, we were both watering trees. He was out in the meadow. He had more of a line of sight on the horizon, whereas I was in the woods. We
gotcha.
Were separated by about 300 feet.
Oh, got you. All right, Sally, put Bill on. Let's
okay,
talk.
Okay, here's Bill.
All right.
This is distinctly three things I've never experienced, and I was guided missile research. Development in Plymouth Navoo Missile Air Station in the 50s. It came at us like a jet. We're used to that. Just like my wife, I turned around, tried to find it. And suddenly, it switched from a just subsonic sound to something more, I have to say it was a rocket. It was not a prop driven. That flashed my mind for a second, maybe a firefighting plane. It was not that. It was no longer a jet.
But a rocket, you would have seen coming over the horizon, going up.
That's what spooked me. It didn't make me afraid. It made me awed that something was going on that had switched in pitch and sound to from subsonic to a freeway pace. And I started counting from that point. I counted 1,001, 1,002. I got
right.
up to 12.
Oh.
And it... So it had to have lasted 18 to 20 seconds, my estimation, and I'm pretty good at this. But the third thing was even more bizarre. I thought it was directly overhead, so I turned around 360 degrees several times, trying to
sure.
find it
of course.
Visually and audibly.
Of course.
Nothing. But I did ascertain that it was more to my south as to my north. I did see in the sky a 30,000-footer... commercial aircraft
right.
approaching it from the north, and he had plenty of visual if there was any possible.
So whatever it was, that airliner should have seen it.
Definitely. But the third thing is the most bizarre of all the things. Instead of just fading away like you would have a Doppler effect that would go down to nil or zero.
Yes, of course.
It abruptly ceased. No sound. Zero. Then I called. Immediately before I forgot anything, I confirmed my wife didn't see it. I got on the phone to Peter Davenport. I left a message on his service. I called my neighbor south of us 6 miles, a 14-year-old, very, very intelligent gentleman. He confirmed that he felt it more than heard it, just like I said. He also said that it was nothing he'd ever heard or seen before with the low-flying fighter jets. He felt that it was a little bit north of him, which would put it between he and I, 6 miles distance. So then we called some other people in town, and all they got was, and this is the fourth bizarre thing, sonic booms. So we stopped at the Indian tribe below us, going into town, and the children were in school, and they said to my wife, they reported that it was a sonic boom, but like nothing they had ever heard. The building completely shook from the ground up, rather than from the sky down. Next, if there was a sonic boom, we've had so many of these, we've become used to it, we would have heard it 16 miles west of Fall River Mills.
I have never heard it described as from the ground up versus something that impacts your building. I mean, we've all had sonic booms, and they kaboom against the building. I mean, that's the way they really hit you.
Very distinguishable.
Not from the ground up.
Well, this was not a sonic boom to us. We heard nothing. We're in a pristine, remote 1856 homestead area, lots of woods around us, no power lines, very, very quiet. About the only sound we get is the birds and the trout stream. There was no sonic booms to us. No sound, no noise, nothing. My wife did see a military aircraft 2.5 hours later go by. There were no chase planes on this event.
Well, Bill, maybe something came up from down below.
Well, Peter didn't allude to that, but he asked if it was seismic, and I know seismic. I wrote a book on earthquakes. It was definitely not a ground thing. There were no trees moving, no wind. The sky was perfectly clear.
But if it was not seismic, how does it, Peter, help me out here, how does it begin below you and move up?
That's a good question, Art, and I don't know if there's a possibility that the percipients are somehow mistaken, that the nature of the sound is such that it incapacitates or overrides or confuses their oral capability, their hearing of this event. I don't know, but it was so unusual that I thought our listeners tonight would like to know about this one.
On that note, Peter, it felt like it was almost an intensive perpetration to hypnotize my sensory perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt.
Wow. Yep.
In the sense that something was going on. It was low, thunderously roaring, but not just pleasing to the ear, like the jet coming out of the sky suddenly hitting upon us. It switched to something that was almost harmonic with my body and resonating.
Yeah.
And I could feel it. And that's what the gentleman, the young boy, said. He felt it more. He said that without my prompting. He felt it more than heard it. And that's what I felt.
Harp test.
So it's something. And you know, we're right in the flight pattern for their testing for low radar interference and intercept. This is a new one on us.
Yeah.
Well, to you two then, welcome to the club of the encounters of the absolute unknown and weird.
And I'll tell you, folks, you better keep like my wife does, Peter's phone number right next to your phone, 206-722-3000.
Boy,
it's going to happen to you next.
You're
Thank
right.
you, Bill.
You
Thank
can
you.
Be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and promo for them, too. 206-722-3000 is the number, only for things that are going on right now, breaking news, that kind of deal. We got, God knows we've got plenty of that. Peter, that one's really weird.
Yeah.
Goes with my picture.
Yeah, it sure does, and it makes me wonder. We read about reconnaissance or high-speed aircraft that allegedly are flying that use a sonic boom. My understanding is they pump out hydrogen and ignite it very quickly. And the sonic wave, the shock wave from that explosion, propels the craft forward. I don't know anything about this field. I've only read about it. It makes me wonder if that's what these people experienced tonight. So I can only guess, but it doesn't sound like a UFO.
No, although it doesn't sound not like one either. I mean, it's an unidentified vibrating object.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. I have no idea, but what we just heard is what we heard. So, listen, folks, the UFO Reporting Center in Seattle does not operate on swamp gas, but rather on your donations. And if you can spare a few dollars to keep them going up there, this is the work they do on an ongoing basis. Peter, the address is?
The address is P.O. Box 45623, University Station, Seattle, Washington, and the zip code is 98145. That address again, Art, is P.O. Box 45623, University Station, Seattle, Washington, 98145. And if I could make one more comment here, we've skipped over a couple very interesting cases that have been reported to us today, but we'll be talking about them at our regularly scheduled monthly meeting this Saturday, 1 to 5. We'll be showing
We've talked about, we have some incoming calls already. We've talked about fireballs pretty frequently. We're going to show some videotape this Saturday, Art, that shows a fireball going up from ground level up to an object passing over Canada at very high speed.
Where will that be?
That's going to be in Woodinville, Washington. Details and a map are on our website, ufocenter.com, as is a standardized blank reporting form for anybody who has seen something who would like to report it, to preserve the data and to make it available to other people who find this type of thing interesting.
But again, folks, if you have something really serious going on, you know, a close encounter, a really close one, and it's happening right now, and you've just called 911, if 911 didn't tell you to do it, then do it yourself. Call the UFO hotline at 206-722-3000, 24 hours a day. Peter may not be live, and or he may be, depending on the time of day, but he will take those kind of reports on the telephone. Otherwise, file on the website.
And if this job continues this way, I may not be live for very much longer, Art. But it's fascinating what's coming in, and it's a real pleasure to bring this information to our listeners. I think it's important. I think it's important that the American people know what's going on right over our heads that our government and our political candidates are not addressing.
Well, all I can say is this. If whatever's inside those things look anything like the photograph on my website tonight, I want war declared now.
Yeah, we ought to put that creature on the U.S. Olympic team and send him down to Australia. Leave him down there.
Oh,
he fits right in with the strange creatures they have on that island.
Well, I guarantee, if whatever it is that finally lands and we find out about looks like that, I'm going to fully understand why nothing was ever said to anybody, ever.
Reminds me a little of my last blind date.
Oh, Peter. All right. Listen, my friend, as always, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Art.
And you take care. Good night, Peter.
Good night.
And we'll talk to you again before the great retirement, which looms. Now, we've got more breaking news for you coming up in this next hour. It seems Mr. Malin involved, perhaps, in this internecine fight between JPL and NASA has released photographs that Richard, I think, believes that he had sitting in his desk of Cydonia, high-resolution photographs of the Cydonia area, apparently missing the face, or the photograph of the face is missing, we'll ask, but brand-new photographs of the Cydonia region that have just been sitting there. They just got released. We'll find out why shortly. Stay right there. Okay.
Take a ride? Well, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
Good morning. I have all kinds of breaking news going on. From the Drudge Report, let me quote, giant solar storm rocks Earth's magnetic field. The numbers are crazy. The magnetometer's off the scale. And Drudge says, a powerful, fast-moving solar storm that rocked Earth's magnetic field Thursday is a, quote, significant threat to disrupt satellites, communications, navigation instruments, even power grids. The storm hit hit Earth at about 2 p.m. Eastern Thursday and could continue for 24 to 36 hours. Knight Rider circuits are first with details. The event is compared to a, quote, tidal wave in the ocean, end quote. It nearly doubled the speed of the ever-present solar wind. That's doubling, folks. The flow of electrons and protons outward from the sun from 839,000 miles per hour to 1.3 million miles per hour, according to a NASA bulletin. So that's going on. I've got a photograph on my website that is the most godforsaken creature you've ever seen in your whole life. You might want to take a look at that, and you might not. It came from Saudi Arabia, in a cave in Saudi Arabia, the story goes, of the man who sent the photo. But, oh man, it's weird. It's really weird. And then I got a call from Richard C. Hoagland, who said that, hey, Art, they just released high-resolution photographs of the Cydonia region. I said, what? He said, yeah, they were in Malin's drawer. So, in a moment, we're going to find out what that's all about. Stay right where... Oh, yes. And Texas appears to be in the process of getting attacked by UFOs. Now, that, of course, is a slight exaggeration, but not if you heard the reports last hour. All right, kind of like a bolt out of the blue, and I mean a bolt out of the blue, the way everything else has happened today, like the solar storm that is now slamming into the Earth full force. About an hour and a half ago, this slammed into me full force. Richard just dropped it on me. Richard C. Hoagland, a one-time advisor to NASA, Angstrom Science Award winner, medal winner, and advisor to Walter Cronkite, and so on and so on and so on. You know Richard, and he brings with him tonight Professor Tom Van Flandren, who has been awake, I think, for 24 hours straight because, like a bombshell out of the sky, all of a sudden, we have from Mr. Malin in the middle of this maelstrom, this internecine warfare between JPL and NASA, we've got release of never-before-seen high-resolution pictures of the Cydonia region minus a face. Is that right, Richard?
That's just about right. Well, let's go back 2 weeks. We had James Oberg, former NASA employee, coming out with a scathing indictment.
Of NASA.
Saying that NASA was covering something up regarding the Mars Polar Lander.
That's right, and as you know, I have him scheduled on the air at the end of this next week.
Next Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all going to be really paying close attention because look at what's coming up the pike here. So Oberg does this, NASA shoots back and says he's crazy, he's a wacko, nothing's true. Then the Young Report is published proving that there were major management problems at JPL. And then Dan Golden goes to JPL, gives a speech where he tells us, and you can go to our website, and look at enterprisemission.com, that none other than the chief spook, the chief black ops intelligence agent of the United States, Admiral Bobby Inman, for an untold period of time has been heading a oversight committee at Caltech, basically sitting on JPL. What in the world is an intel agent doing telling a civilian space program what to do?
Well,
so
they keep secrets.
But that's the idea. You keep secrets. We have been saying for 20 years, folks, that there are huge secrets on Mars at a place called Cydonia that the intelligence agencies do not want you to know because they don't think, among other things, you can handle it. And people look at me and they kept saying, Hoagland, you're crazy, you're crazy. Well, what is Bobby Inman doing sitting on an oversight committee for JPL? In the midst of all this, we were trying through this program, through this incredibly attuned and sharp audience, and I have many reasons to say that, but I don't have time to get into them. We have been watching carefully what's going on in Washington vis-a-vis Senator John McCain and the Congressional Senate Committee overseeing NASA, which because of the faxes and emails and letters and phone calls from this audience, suddenly has stepped up to the plate and talked about much closer oversight of NASA in the wake of these two incredibly embarrassing failures.
Wanting, we've been certainly slamming them with faxes and emails, trying to get more photographs of Cydonia, and here, out of absolutely nowhere, gets released how many photographs?
There appear to be eight new ones. Eight new ones, and when I say they've been sitting in a drawer, we can prove that, because as part of the Malin website, which again is linked to...
Wait a minute. When were these taken?
They apparently have been taken in the series of windows between April of 1998, when we got our first passes through all those faxes to Golden.
Yes.
And a few days ago. But he's been accumulating them. He's been sitting on them.
So then we don't know when the hell they took them.
He's been hoarding them. Well,
there's no date really on the photos.
Well, if you go to a separate part of Malin's website, which is linked to Enterprise and linked to your site, and you scan down to a section toward the bottom called Ancillary Data.
Yes.
Ancillary Data Table. If you go in there, it actually tells you the dates when these pictures were taken. And they are scattered through the last 2 years. So we know he's...
Why in the hell would he take pictures of Cydonia and keep them locked up in his desk for two years or more?
Gosh, Mr. Bell, let me see if I can think of a good reason why...
Please do.
He might do that.
Anyway, it's a bulletin, folks. I mean, here they are, boom, just dumped on us like that, and they are high-res, right?
They are very high-res, and I've had a chance to look at some of the details, and there are exquisitely interesting and enigmatic features. And at that point, I'm going to turn this over to Tom Van Flander, because unlike me, he's had about 24 hours to look at these pictures, to enlarge some of the objects, to actually do sectional enhancements, and he has some news.
Tom, Professor, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Art.
Professor, you've had a real lead time on us here in looking at these. I don't know how you got it, but you got it, and you've been up 24 hours looking at them. They are a good high-resolution photographs?
That's right. There's such a wealth of detail in there. I'd like to just comment on perhaps the star of the new pictures, which is the object that has been known as the Fortress.
The Fortress, yes.
They have two high-resolution pictures of that object from slightly different viewing angles, and we're seeing some amazing detail in that object.
There's some incredible geometric structure, things that look like pipes.
Yes.
On the one that I looked at a few minutes ago.
What? Pipes? Hello? Pipes? What?
Well, except on the scale of the photographs, Art, they'd be subway tunnels. They'd be big enough to hold whole railroad cars.
I referred to them as features that look like entranceways.
Yep.
And one of them looks almost as if it's a roundish tunnel opening.
What?
That seems to go up under the plateau. You can see the... a bulge in the plateau where the tunnel seems to continue underground.
A tunnel. Well, we all know Mars once had water on it. Could that be an artifact of the fact that there was water there, or is this more strikingly not natural, Professor?
Let me give you a quick overview of the whole plateau. There seems to be a notch, almost half rectangular in shape, on the south wall. A very large rectangular shaped cutout in that wall.
This is of the fort.
Yes, of the fort. The tunnel-like entranceway on the southwest side with a possible circular opening, a smaller rectangular structure just off the south wall that seems quite tall because it's projected against the ravine in the background. There is the triangular courtyard that was there before can be seen plainly too. By the way, listeners who might want to have the picture in front of them can find it at our website, metaresearch.org, metaresearch.org. There's a second rectangular structure just off the east side that looks somewhat like a building might look after it's been covered with sand and dust for millions of years. And it has a bright albedo feature, a very bright pattern on the surface of the mesa that seems to be very elongated and pointing toward the rectangular object. There is a very strange-looking trough that comes in from well off the mesa toward the east and comes right up to the mesa and stops.
With funny-looking grooves on the bottom spaced very regularly.
That's right.
Professor, so that everybody understands, so I understand, I'm not an expert on Cydonia. I followed it over the years, but I guess it's important for the audience to understand how important are these photographs that sat in his desk that just for some godforsaken reason got released, 24 hours ago?
Yes,
24 hours ago. How important, when you look at other pictures of Mars, in terms of, wow, look at this, isn't this unusual or maybe even... not natural. I mean, is it that important?
Yes, I'd say it's of considerable importance. This fills out our picture quite a bit.
Well, it's even better, Tom, because in looking just briefly at what I've been trying to download all evening,
Yes.
The pictures appear to be of much higher quality than the first three shots taken in 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
In April 98.
The old famous cat box photos. They
These are as good as the rest of Mars. Remember our comparison?
Yes,
how this
course.
Camera could take stunning pictures?
Yes, of course.
Everywhere but Sidonia?
Yes.
Well, funnily, the ones he kept in his drawer are damn good.
Well, all right, then the question is, you've got photos of the fort, and you're describing details. Does the fort with higher resolution photos, Professor, look more unnatural to you now, or does it look with higher resolution, just like rocks and shadows and stuff?
Well, it certainly doesn't look like rocks and shadows. The trouble is that the features we're looking at are still very large-scale features. You can't see things as small as a man. That size, so where artificiality would really stand out. When you're looking at just very large-scale features and things look rectangular or circular or regular or symmetric or angular, those are all hints of artificiality. But since that could happen, even though it's low probability by accident or by chance, this doesn't prove the case for artificiality. But given artificiality nearby in the face, which we think we have proved, the most reasonable interpretation of this is that these are artificial structures, too. They sure do look that way.
All right, so the new photographs, high resolution, strengthen the case for it being artificial.
Yes.
And these photographs have sat in a desk.
This is the most mysterious part, because after the meeting of SBSR with Carl Pilker at headquarters about 2 years ago, at the same time we were starting our intensive fax campaign to this audience,
Yes.
There was an agreement between NASA headquarters and JPL and Malin that on every opportunity, Sidonia would not only be photographed, but the photographs would be provided immediately.
I remember, yes.
So he basically has broken the agreement. He took the pictures every time. In fact, he actually says on his website that the images have been acquired on every pass over Sidonia over the last 2 years. So all the while we've been out here crying for photographs and saying, where are they, Michael,
They've had them.
He's had them.
Well,
now, the question of verifiability is in great suspicion here, because if there were blatant artificial features, it wouldn't take much in a computer to make it so that they wouldn't really stand out and they would be submerged in noise and it would be at the level of ambiguity. So the fact that they have been withheld against the agreement for 2 years is a major problem in coming to ultimate resolution regarding the authenticity of all of this data.
Well, all right, then politically, what popped them out?
Well, I think, you know, my theory is that it's the war within NASA to regain control of the Mars program from JPL and the Black Ops people who are on record now as being in charge of an oversight committee. And that NASA Houston is playing a major role because they would be the center that would go gung-ho with a manned mission to Mars. And Oberg just happens to be an alumnus of the Johnson Space Center, and he's the guy who's going to be on your show next week, apparently dishing out more dirt, saying he's got more evidence of wrongdoing on the part of this agency.
Well, we'll see. Professor, how much more work do you have to do on the raw photographs that you have spent the last 24 hours on? How much more work before you say, I'm done, I've examined what there is?
There's such a wealth of detail in these images. I'll probably be working on them intensively for at least 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
This is like drinking from a fire hose, Art.
But yeah, it is. But we'll have the sort of the highlight results from a quick once-over in maybe 3 or 4 days.
Now, we have not had time at all at Enterprise to do anything with image processing, but we will. And we found some pretty interesting things on the first set of pictures 2 years ago. And just eyeballing it, just looking at the stuff as it was coming in, downloaded tonight.
Yes.
I can see stunning, rectilinear, geometric, very weird, artificial-looking things that don't belong on the surface of Mars.
Richard, do you think the photographs of the face are still in another drawer?
You know, I don't know. There was supposed to be a very high-resolution sequence right down the western side of that bench, that platform that it sits on.
Yes.
Where we know there's interesting stuff.
Yes.
His targeting is amazing. And for some reason, the sequencing of the whole spacecraft went awry just as that critical photograph was taken, and it ostensibly never made it to Earth.
You're telling me it missed the photograph of the face?
No. The targeting was good, but the spacecraft had a problem.
That's what I said. It missed it.
No, it had to stop taking the picture.
In other words, what I'm saying, Richard, is it went right overhead, and it would have taken a picture, but it didn't take a picture.
But he claims that it doesn't exist because the spacecraft had a hiccup at the wrong time. Of all the pictures,
I don't buy that.
I'm glad you don't, because I don't think a bunch of other folks are either. Look, what I want people to do is to go back to their, you know, boards and basically jot down John McCain's phone numbers. Because the way we keep the pressure on is we basically tell them, look, keep Senator McCain on the job. Can you imagine if there was a call from Senator McCain's office to Dr. Malin's office after all those faxes, and he said, or one of his staff said, you know, the senator would really like to see these pictures because we're coming up on appropriations, which we are. And
all
suddenly
right.
These pictures come out in full public view, and they're stunning.
All right. Next week, when the professor has had more time to examine the photographs, we're going to have you both back. In the meantime, the word is keep the pressure on. So, Professor, for you, I would get some sleep and then look again.
Okay. Fair enough.
Thank you, Doctor, and good night.
Good night, Tom.
All right. And Richard, for you, yes, everybody go to my website. Let's keep the pressure on and get the rest of the photographs. But that's a big bulletin, folks. New photographs that were in a desk. Unblanking believable. Richard, thank you. Good night.
Hey, good night, Art.
All right. That's your update, folks. As the war continues, apparently. We'll try and keep you informed. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. Coming up, Neil Slade. You're listening to the Twin Cities Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTB.
Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222 or use the wildcard line at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell on the Premier Radio Network.
You know, I've still got this photograph on my screen, and I think I'm going to get it off. This creature, whatever it is, sent to me by a man in Saudi Arabia. Well, I think we have the email up there from the fellow in Saudi Arabia. Not this thing. This is the ugliest, but ugly, horrible. It's you know what? I don't think it's an alien. I think what we're looking at, and I'm not a real religious guy, but that's evil. There's something inherently, obviously, you can feel it, you can see it, that's evil. It's evil. That's all there is to it. I don't know what more to tell you about this photograph. It's up on my website now, prominently displayed, as is information about the solar storm we're going through. The Earth is really getting smacked right now, folks. This is one big storm impacting Earth, and it's going to go on for the next, who knows. But at higher latitudes, maybe even mid-latitudes, there's every possibility that if you look carefully, you're going to see the northern lights ablazing, because it's really lit up there.